One of those this morning. We're going to be in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, beginning in verse number 7 down to verse number 15. This is after the ark had been brought in. A lot of celebration going on. They're excited. Probably fired up like we are today, amen. It said, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. And let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. And verse 15, be ye mindful always of his covenant, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Father, as we come to you this morning, I am so full. I'm so thankful, God. I'm filled with your joy today. I'm thankful, God, to be in a house where we can come and we can preach and sing the glory to Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm thankful, God, that you've given us freedom in our relationship to you through that sacrifice that you made for us. God, you've set us free from the bondage of sin. We praise you. We raise hands this morning. We raise our voices this morning, God, because we're excited to be children of the King. And God, we're so thankful that your word instructs us and guides us. We're thankful, God, of all the examples that you set for us. Jesus, while you were here, you did more than just die on a cross. You did more than just pay for our sins, but you showed us how to live, God. And we're thankful for that. We're praying today that you do that. As we look into this word of being mindful, may it be soaked into our very being, God. May it get into our fibers and us begin to understand the importance of us being mindful, what that really means to us in today's world. Forgive me of my sins, God. Cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness. I don't want to do anything that would be a distraction, anything that would hinder or take away from your perfect word being preached today. So you preach to me. You give old David what he needs today. God, you give us, all of us, what we need today. So when we leave this afternoon, we're going to say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Have your way, Jesus. We love you. Praise you in your holy name. Amen. Mindfulness. Probably never really thought about that, of being an attribute of Jesus. Well, I mean, it is one, but probably never really thought about mindfulness, have you? That's what I want to focus on for the next few weeks. These things that are important and critical, these things that are crucial in our relationship with Christ that we need to learn from Him. So mindfulness, the word mindful literally is defined as this: to be conscious or aware of something and to be watchful. Probably 20 plus years ago, there was a professor that did a little thing with his group of kids that he had, and he said, "I'm going to show you a video," and he said, "I want you to count how many times it's a basketball game." Maybe you've heard of this before. If you are, just hang on with me for those that haven't. He said, "I want to watch this video, this basketball team playing," and he said, "I want you to count how many times they pass the ball." So they're ready to go. They're dialed in. You know, I got one goal here. I got one job here. I'm going to count how many times they pass the ball. So watching that video, at the end of the video, he said, "Okay, is everybody ready?" Everybody said, "Yeah, we're ready." He said, "Okay, my first question is, did you see the gorilla?" We're supposed to be counting how many times the ball's passed. There's no gorilla in the video. This is a little bit ridiculous. It's a basketball game. And so he went back and showed them the video again. They accused him of showing a completely different video because they got a ball game going and these guys are passing the ball around. And over to the side, this dude dressed in a humongous gorilla suit walks right out in the middle of the court, waving at everybody, and he's standing beside them as they're passing the ball, and he walks through. Nobody remembered seeing the gorilla. Why? Because they're not mindful of their surroundings. They were literally having tunnel vision and focused on only one thing. They were consumed. You see where I'm going? They were consumed by one thing, and they weren't able to see. What is that old saying? You can't see the forest for the trees. It's called perceptual blindness. Never heard of that phrase before. So whoever coined it, I like it. Perceptual blindness. And I've written down a statement. I want to make sure I read it word for word so I don't butcher it. But it's, the eyes are going to see only what the mind is prepared to comprehend. Pretty profound statement. I'd love to say I've coined that. But what I'm dealing with in this word of mindfulness or being mindful is it's way more important than we make it. Do you have a cell phone?
Amen.
My word. Life was so great before those things came in. I mean, listen, when I was a kid, you know what I did? I played with Tonka trucks out in the yard, man, and I had a blast. And so we get so consumed and locked into these things. And I'm as guilty as anybody because it seems as though our whole life is engrossed in one little piece of metal that we're losing comprehension of the world that's around us. We're losing. When we read about Jesus, we read about the relationship that he had with people, and we read about the exposure that he was around. Over 40 plus times, the Word of God says this, and make note of this, over 40 times it says Jesus saw. Jesus saw something. Jesus is seeing what's going on in the world around him, and Jesus is acting and reacting, responding to things as the Spirit guided him. We were saying, well, sure, he's going to. He's God, so he should. He has to. But no, he also set that example for us that we need to be mindful of the world that is around us. In Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, Jesus saw them. He didn't just see, but he comprehended the situation that he was in and that they were in. So when he saw them, the word saw here meaning to perceive and to be aware. So Jesus, when he opened his eyes, he didn't just look, but he saw and comprehended what was going on. He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Jesus was traveling, he's walking. This little guy named Zacchaeus, little guy obviously that couldn't see above the crowd. I'm not going to pick on Chris Ogle because I don't think he's here today, is he? Well, let's pick on him while he is gone. Yeah. So Zacchaeus is not able to see. We all know the story. He climbed up in a sycamore tree to see Jesus. And so when we think about being mindful, people saw Zacchaeus, people saw him, but what did they really see? That's the difference in being mindful. You know what the crowd saw? A thief. The crowd saw somebody that's nothing more that makes a living off taking money out of my pocket that needs to go to my family and provide for them. So I hate him. I despise him. I don't want him in my vicinity. Don't be around us. Don't talk to me. Stay away from me. He's nothing but in the way. And so that's what people saw when they looked at Zacchaeus. But when Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, he was mindful of a man that no doubt, yeah, he was a man that was hated and despised. Imagine the loneliness that he felt. Imagine the isolation that he felt. Imagine that he's striving every day to think, maybe one more dollar is going to make me happy. Maybe that'll make me happy because I have nobody that cares for me, nobody that loves me. Everybody wants me dead. Imagine the depression and the anxiety that Zacchaeus perhaps must have felt. Jesus was mindful because he saw things that the disciples didn't see. He saw and understood and comprehended what's going on in other people's lives, unlike anybody else. So how observant are you? Do we see this world around us? Do we see people around us that are hurting? Do we see things going on in other people's lives? And do we have truly a concern and a compassion for those things? As Jesus traveled, Bartimaeus, blind Bartimaeus, crying out, he heard Jesus was passing by. Son of David, have mercy on me. And they kept trying to get him to quieten down, and louder he got. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And he screamed at the top of his lungs because he knew he couldn't see him, and he didn't know if Jesus was coming closer or Jesus was getting further away, and he wanted to make sure he heard him. Finally, Jesus said, bring that man to me. And I'm thinking, what did the crowd see when they saw blind Bartimaeus there begging and screaming for Jesus to come by and spend a moment with him? You got to imagine Jesus as he's traveling. He's got an entourage with him. He's got a crowd of people that are with him, his disciples and all those others that are just following, wanting to get connected to him, get close to him. So Jesus and a crowd of people, you know, it's like somebody going to an award show. You know, in California there, they're giving away awards. These people have all these groups around them. Jesus in the middle. And one guy off to the side screaming for Jesus to stop and give him just a minute. What did the people see when they saw Bartimaeus? Here's what the people saw. And here's what we see a lot of times when we see people around us in that shape. They saw a nuisance.
That's right.
Are there people in your life that are just nothing more than a nuisance to you? Well, I'm not going to say it out loud, but yeah, they kind of are. Are there people around you that are nothing more than a pain to you? We don't see the hurt that's going on. We don't see a man that's blind that really wants to be able to see. We don't see a man that's hurting. What Jesus saw is he saw somebody that had all those needs, and he cried out to Jesus, and Jesus said, bring him to me. And Jesus opened the eyes of the blind. If we could become truly mindful, because Christ was mindful. Yes, I know he's God, and I know he's God made flesh. And he has to be mindful, but he taught us that we need to be the same way. Are we observant? What is it that Jesus taught in this mindfulness? We looked at Matthew chapter number 22 and verse 39 last week when we talked about loving like Jesus. That verse says, the second is like unto it. Gave the first commandment, love the Lord with your mind, with your soul, and with all of your heart. And he said, the second commandment is like unto the first. Isn't it interesting that he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what does that mean? It means being mindful of your surroundings, being mindful of the world that is around us. Do you really care if the people around you are saved or not? Do we? Are we concerned about our family being saved and everybody else can just fend for themselves? Do we want to really make a difference in this world? Or do we feel as though that, well, there's no way we can affect the entire world, so we're just going to give up and quit trying. We're not going to worry so much about it. I'm going to focus on just me, put my energy into things that are important to me, important to my family. Jesus loved everybody, cared about everybody, and he wanted everybody to hear the truth. Salvation comes through the blood of Christ when we repent of our sins. Jesus taught we need to be loving our neighbor, which basically means you need to be mindful of your neighbor and concerned about those people that are around us. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, kind of branches off a little bit, but it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So how do we present our bodies a living sacrifice? How do we live a godly life? We must love God with everything we have, but we must secondly love everybody else and reach out to everybody else and be mindful of those people in and around our lives. That's what we got to do next. So then Jesus in Matthew, after he talked about loving the Lord and loving each other, he talked about the Good Samaritan. Who is your neighbor? Well, your neighbor's everybody around you, right? Not just the person who lives across the street. We know that now. That's elementary these days, right? So your neighbor is anybody that you come in contact with, anybody that God impresses on you that you need to reach out to and you need to communicate with. When we think about the Good Samaritan story, and I thought about it, you know, I'm not going to say it's been preached to death because it's going to continue to be preached, but I'm going to say we've probably exhausted every thought over these thousands of years of that story, that anything important, anything of relevance, anything new that could be said about it has probably been said. So somewhere along the line, someone has said what I'm about to say. So I'm basically echoing off whoever said it first. But I had never really thought as deeply and much about this part of the life of the Good Samaritan. You see, the Levite and the priest obviously went by. They looked, well, I don't have time for you. I've got duties here. I've got responsibilities here. Priest did. The Levite said, well, I'm going to go over and look at him. Yeah, he's pretty nasty. But yeah, I've got responsibilities and obligations here too. So when the Good Samaritan came by and he saw him and he had compassion on him, the Good Samaritan was mindful of this Jew that had fallen among thieves, traveling from Jericho to Jerusalem. Rough part of town, if you've ever been over there. It's a rough span, several miles of desert and caves and caverns and shadowy places where somebody can lie wait. Thieves can take advantage of somebody and nobody's there to help. It never really dawned on me that, you know what? That Good Samaritan had things he needed to do too that day. No, he didn't. He just walking around seeing all the people he can help because that's what he did. No, he wasn't. You know something? It never really dawned on me that this dude was just as busy as the Levite and the priest were. What was the difference? He was mindful that he saw somebody in need and he stopped to help them. He was cautious and concerned and compassionate that somebody else needed something and he was able to provide that. Well, maybe you're making too big a deal about the word mindful, preacher. I don't think so, because I don't think I'm very mindful at times. Amen. I think I could learn a valuable lesson about being more mindful, even about people within my own family. Are we truly mindful? Because Jesus taught us that we need to become mindful. We need to be as that Good Samaritan, that one that as he's traveling and as he's busy and as he's doing what he's doing, he is not so focused on what he's doing that he's closed-minded to God's distractions. Because God's going to have those distractions, right? Okay, so what keeps us from being mindful? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but these things which are not seen are eternal. Luke 9:62, Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and then looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Felix said to Paul, he said, man, this is tough. He said, I'm intrigued by what you're saying, Paul, but he said, I want you to come back in a more convenient season, and I'll talk to you about this later. We're easily distracted. Why? Because we all have agendas in life. We're all busy in life. We're all doing things. We're all preoccupied with what's going on in our life that we don't have time to listen to what the Spirit of God is trying to say to us. You know what I wish? Sometimes I wish God would scream at me the way I scream at times. I would like for God to just scream at me, smack me, get my attention. Well, sometimes he does that. But most of the time, you know what God does? God speaks in the still, small voice. That not necessarily a whisper, but God speaks at a tone and at a volume that we can hear him speaking, but we turn our volume up so we don't have to really hear what God is saying. Why are we not mindful? We're not mindful because we've all got an agenda. There's nothing wrong with having plans. Nothing wrong with having goals in life. God wants us to be people that are good stewards, not only of our finances, but of our time as well. Nothing wrong with having a schedule. Nothing wrong with planning things. It's good to be that way. But we can get so focused and concentrating on those things that we refuse to hear when the Holy Spirit calls us. We get so busy about what we're doing. You know what's going to happen one day if we're not careful? He's going to say to us, just like he said to that rich fool, you put all your money into all this stuff and all these bigger barns and all these things and all these materialistic things, and tonight you're going to die, then what's going to happen with all your stuff? Amen. Everything you've spent your entire life working for and working toward is going to be given to somebody else, and you'll have no choice in what happens to it. You're going to die. So I'm thinking, wow, I need to be more focused. I have a conversation with most of our younger parents. I have over the years tried to talk about when you're prepared to have kids, when you get to that moment, or when you already have children. I've had the dad talk with a lot of young men over the years. And my greatest advice to them is this. Never get to my age and have regrets about your children's lives. Don't get so focused on trying to provide for your families that you don't spend time with your families. Amen? Amen. And so that to me is being mindful. If we're not going to be mindful within our own family, then you can forget us being mindful when it comes to the rest of the world. But we are so distracted because we all have an agenda and we feel as though we have a valid excuse to not be mindful of those people that are around us. Finally, how can we become more mindful? Well, okay, preacher, you've brought a good point, valid point. We need to be more mindful. How do we do that? In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, it says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I preached a couple of funerals this week. One of those funerals that we preached in Psalm number 46 and verse number 10, I read these passages of scriptures. It talks about all the things that God is in our life and wants to be in our lives. And he'll provide for us. He'll be a champion. He'll be our strength. He wants to be that refuge and that solid rock we can count on. But then you get down to verse number 10 and we read this verse of scripture. All these things that God wants to provide. Here's what he tells us we need to do. In verse number 10, be still and know that I am God. That's what we've got to do. How can I become more mindful? To be still, to just stop. Which that's what still means. It means literally to stop. Stop and just know that he is God. To take a minute and quit talking and yapping so much and listen to God and begin to develop that relationship with Him. I talked with somebody this past week, and they brought up a great point in their own life, which we would all do good to learn this lesson. They said what's been a pivotal point in their life in just being able to cope with life, manage life, deal with the stresses and anxieties of life, is that they've became intentional in the things that they do. I would do good to become more intentional in my life, more intentional in my walk with Him, more intentional in my prayer life, more intentional in my Bible study, in my relationship with God. In doing those things, we build upon that salvation, that foundation of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that, my friend, is where we become more alert, more aware, more conscious of the gorilla rather than trying to count how many times somebody throws the ball back and forth. Do you consider yourself to be somebody that's mindful? I hope you do, but if you're not, the Spirit of God has a great work ahead for us. And He can't use us if we're not in the right frame of mind. So we must renew our mind. Is your mind renewed? Because you know something? I don't believe just being saved is going to make you effective for the kingdom of God. Do you? Do you believe just being saved makes you effective? No, I don't think it does. I think being saved assures us a relationship with Christ that one day we're going to be in heaven with Him and we're going to be on this new heaven and new earth with Him, but it doesn't guarantee that we're going to be effective for the kingdom of God. How do we become effective? Build that relationship with Him. Read His Word, pray, study, seek His forgiveness and cleansing. Confess is what the Word of God says. We confess those things and get that relationship where it needs to be, and then we can become more mindful. Yeah, Jesus was mindful. My challenge for you is, and for me this week, is for us to quit talking so much and do a whole lot more listening and be alert to our surroundings. Stand with me as we pray.